Welcome to Idiot, episode 3. We're going to start off with a little 1 minute meditation. That's right. You're already listening. Might as well get centered. Okay, ready, y'all? We're going to go ahead and close your eyes, except if you're driving, do not close your eyes. Just go ahead and inhale deep through your nose for a count of 4. Hold at the top for a count of 3. And exhale fully through your mouth. Let's take it 2 more times. Inhale through your nose for a count of 4. Exhale fully through your mouth. Inhale through your nose for a count of 4. This time, hold at the top for a count of 4. You can do it. 1, 2, 3, 4. And exhale everything out. Yes. Now, for me, think about 5 things you're grateful for right now. Just get into gratitude. I know you're pissed off right now. You're fucking mad. The world's crazy. It's a scary place. Your spouse is pissing you off. Your kids are being little shitheads. Ooh, your friend didn't call you back and said she did. You weren't invited to the party. Oh man, I'm pissed. My lower back hurts. Ooh, I got bad skin problems. Nope. We're going to think about all the things we do have for just a minute. Just get happy and grateful. Consciously choose to think about things we're grateful for, things that we do have, just 5 things. I'm happy and grateful, so happy and grateful for the sun, for the beautiful trees, for my tits, for coffee. I'm so happy and grateful for coffee. I'm so happy and grateful for coffee. I'm happy and grateful for my kids. That's really sad that my coffee came before my kids. But you know what? Coffee does come before kids. It goes coffee, then kids. Okay? In that order. Okay. Happy and grateful for sex. I had sex last night. I was on top. Okay? And I have not been on top in like a year. I'm not kidding you. You know, you get comfortable with like a position, and for some reason we had another position. It was like the side position. It was just like convenient. And yesterday I felt inspired to go on top, and I think it's because I cut my hair and I got highlights and I wanted to like show it off. But it was very exciting and fun, and I felt nice about it. So I'm happy and grateful for that. Happy and grateful for my sobriety. Yes. One day at a time. I hope that you're thinking of things you're happy and grateful for. Okay. And then now we did that. So that's awesome. Yay. Happy and grateful. Oh, happy and grateful that we're here right now. We're alive. We woke up today. Yes. We woke up today. We woke up today. We didn't die this morning. Instead, we woke up today. That's pretty amazing. So happy and grateful for that. And I'm happy and grateful for so many things. Happy and grateful for ice. I like to chomp on it. It's really nice. It's probably my anemia, but nonetheless, I like it. Okay, next step, y'all. Come on, we're doing good. We did some deep breathing. We got grateful. And now what we're going to do is we're going to think about literally just one thing. Let's simplify it. One thing that we want to achieve, manifest in our life. Immediately when I say manifest or achieve, you're thinking, oh, it has to be money or job or lose weight. It's like all that. No, fuck that. It could be anything. Think about anything you want to manifest. Just one goal. Now, it could be that you want to get into shape. It could be that you want a raise. It could be that. Whatever. It doesn't matter. It could be a philanthropic goal. It could be to have a better relationship with your partner. It could be to connect with your kids more. It could be, you want to orgasm today. It could be that you want to get the job you've always, whatever. It doesn't matter what it is. Okay, I'm going to say my goal that I want to achieve is to have a successful children's show, because it's my latest venture and I'm just so passionate and excited about it. So how I manifest, and I talk about this all the time because it's worked so well in my life, and I just want to share things that have worked so well in my life with you, as well as bitch about the things that don't work. But manifesting has been such a helpful tool in just helping me retrain my brain to focus on what I want rather than what I don't want. It's been such a key component to my living a life beyond my wildest dreams. So I speak about what I want as if I've already achieved it. So I would just say, after I'm done with my gratitude list, I'm so happy and grateful that I have a successful children's show that entertains, educates, and inspires children and makes their parents piss themselves laughing. I'm so happy and grateful that I have a successful children's show that inspires, educates, and entertains children while also making the parents piss themselves from laughing. Now I see it. I just spend a minute or two just visualizing little kids learning new words, new colors, new shapes, and being entertained and educated. And then I visualize the parents walking by going, "What did she just say? Babe, you gotta watch this. No, seriously, watch this." And I'm just seeing it. And it's filling me with a lot of joy because, like I said in episode 2, I believe that we all have gifts, and it's our job to find our strengths and our gifts and use those strengths that we have acquired, those God-given, universe-given gifts, and share them with the world and help heal the world through our gifts, whatever they are, whether it's teaching yoga or cooking or teaching or painting or making comedy or making music or doing someone's taxes. You're good with numbers. You can help people like me who took geometry 3 times. Everybody has a gift, at least one, maybe more. And it's our job, it's our duty to share it with the world and help heal the world through our gifts. So anyway, that's my visualization for the day. I hope you picked one and spent a minute or two just visualizing that goal, whatever that goal is, big or small, doesn't matter. Just, you deserve it. Hey, listen to me. Hey, knock, 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 knock. You deserve it. You deserve that thing. You deserve it. Or that feeling, whatever it is, you deserve it. So visualize it as if it's already yours. It's already here. Just see it. Give yourself just every morning, every night, just a couple minutes, just a couple minutes, and it will change your life. I'm so passionate about it. Woo, y'all. Okay, that was fun. I hope you found that fun. I find that kind of thing fun. I find it very fun to focus on what I want rather than what I don't. That's fun. Speaking of what I want, another thing I want is to have a son who's potty trained. So guess who's on day 3 of potty training their son? It's me. It's me. If you didn't guess, it was me. I don't know who you guessed, but the answer was me. I am on day 3. I was terrified. I read the "oh crap" potty training method, and I felt incredibly discouraged because she kept writing about how if you wait till after they're 3, you're fucked. You're royally fucked. And I waited till after 3. Now I thought to myself, does it count? I have a son who's autistic, who is delayed in areas. So he is 3, but because he's delayed, is he, you know, does it count? Does it apply? I don't know. But she kept saying, if you wait till after three, you're fucked. They're strong-willed. They'll fight you. It'll be hell on earth, basically, if you wait. And I waited. So the whole time I'm reading this book, I'm freaking out. Then I got past that. Oh, well, first I posted on TikTok saying I'm freaking out because this woman keeps telling me how badly I fucked up every other page. Do not, whatever you do, do not wait until there are three. So I posted and everyone's like, burn the book, burn the book. I didn't potty train until four. I didn't potty train until 3.5. My kid, I tried to do it at 2 and they weren't ready. I tried to do it at, 1.5. They weren't ready. I tried to do it at 2.5. They weren't ready. You wait till they're ready. Burn the book. But I actually didn't burn the book. I was so inspired by all of your comments and it was so reassuring to know that she was wrong. There are so many kids out there that potty trained after 3 easily in a couple days because they were ready and they wouldn't have been ready before. So she was wrong. That being said, I really like her method other than that bit. So basically it says she puts it into blocks. The first block is no underwear. Literally they're naked for like 3 days. This is day 3 of him being naked. He can wear a shirt, but no underwear, no pants. And it's basically you follow them around and you watch them like a hawk. You do not take your eyes off him at all. So I've loved this method because I've connected with him on such an amazing level. Because you don't realize how distracted you get by your phone, by cooking, by, oh, I gotta do this thing or work or whatever it is, or the baby sister, like there are distractions. So it's been amazing to just watch him like a hawk, incredibly exhausting, but also I've been feeling very connected to him. And so I was freaking out, but I just thought, you know what, I'm gonna give myself, 2 weeks. He starts summer school in 2 weeks. If he doesn't get it, he doesn't get it. This for me is a big lesson in staying in the action and out of the results. No pressure on, oh, it's his age, he should be this or da da da. No, fuck that. Stay in the action. Just stay in today. And if he gets it, he gets it. If he doesn't, he doesn't. Do the action, leave the results up to the universe. He will be ready when he's ready. So it's been a big lesson in staying present, staying off my phone. Now I do have help today. So day one, it was just me and Alfie and Poppy. And so that was really hard because I had to keep poor Poppy, not neglected, but I couldn't teach her that day because I was staring at Alfie's penis. That sounds terrible, but you literally have to watch them 24/7. So you bet your ass I was putting on the movie Cars, Miss Rachel, Sesame Street, all the things to just keep her entertained so I could literally watch my son's genitals so I could see. Because the second he starts to pee or does the little dance, you pick him up and you run him to the potty. Yay! Hold it, hold it, hold it. We're going to the potty. Big boys pee-pee in the potty and we sit on the potty and do it. And the first day it was no pees in the potty. He had, just basically pissed on me all day. I was just pissed on. R. Kelly, I don't understand what the fascination is. I was just pissed on the entire day. I would see it. I would pick him up and run and just piss. Just piss everywhere. There's so much piss. And then day two, he also did not poop. So he held it because, nervous. But the really exciting thing was that he wasn't resisting. Yes, he was just peeing wherever because it's been 3 years of just being able to pee whenever and wherever you want. So to expect him on day one to just run to the potty is insane for my child. And so basically I would see it. And then by the end of the day, you'd start to see, okay, now's the time, pick him up, sit him on the potty. He would sit on there for a long time, wouldn't actually go, but he didn't resist it. He would sit on the potty. He seemed to like it. He seemed to be excited about it. Anyway, day two was amazing. It was all prompted, but I started to learn his schedule of how many pees and when he would do the little pee-pee dance or hold his penis, I knew, okay, it's time. So I'd pick him up, run him to the potty, and he went did a big long pee in the morning. It was so exciting. Now, it doesn't say to reward with, you know, food or like toys or anything in the book. But for my son, I never use food. I was totally against food as a reinforcer, which I know a lot of people do in like different therapies for autism. And I just didn't, I thought it was a really bad method. I thought it could lead to eating disorders and food issues by saying like, say this word and then you get a treat. But I always said to myself, something as big as potty training, I will straight up use dark chocolate. Dark chocolate is his heaven on earth. He loves it so much and I don't give it to him all the time. So I thought if he pees or poops on the potty, here's a dark chocolate. We are celebrating in every way possible. This is huge. And so yes, I am using chocolate as a reinforcer for potty training alone. I feel like that is the is such a big deal that I just want to throw everything I have on it. So I'm doing that. Judge me or not, I'm doing it. And anyways, we did a big long pee. I gave him dark chocolate, praise. It was so exciting. And then it was basically all, you know, through that during the day, he peed on the potty 3 times. Then he had to poop. He ended up pooping on the potty because we could really see the poop dance. And he was really scared. And we just held him and, you know, said, it's going to be okay. You're great. You can do this. And then today on day 3, kind of not regressing, but definitely having accidents still. So it's a journey. Let's just say it's a journey. And I'm just trying to stay present with it and, you know, not have these wild expectations. Just be in the moment and, you know, be patient. So that's what's happening. So on day 3, I only have a limited amount of time to record this because Poppy's napping and Carla is watching Alfie like a hawk. And then I'm going back in and then Carla's going to take Poppy and I'm going to take Alfie or vice versa. And we're just kind of tag teaming it. Meanwhile, Steven's at the studio scoring our children's show. I still cannot believe we have a children's show. I'm not sure if it'll have come out by the time this podcast episode comes out, but if it has, it's called Pammy's World. Yes, Pamela Pupkin is the star of the show and it's on YouTube. It's a YouTube original called Pammy's World and I am beyond excited. We're doing incredible pop tracks, hysterical segments, educational segments. I'm so excited about this. It's just, God, it's just perfect. I mean, God damn, I have a 1 and a 3-year-old. It's my life. So it's just very exciting for me. So I hope you love it and I hope your kids love it. And if you don't have kids, you should just watch it anyway because it's hilarious in a really awkward way. So where else? Where were we? I just got Postmates. It's this vegan Mexican place called Veggie Moss and their shit is so bomb. So I cut my hair off yesterday. It's above my shoulders and it's amazing how something like a haircut could just re-energize you. I don't know why that is, but I feel like a new woman and I'm very happy about it. I can mom better. Literally, I had long ass hair with extensions before that. It was too much. I just cut the shit off and I feel so good. Do y'all ever say yes to way too many things? Do you have that problem? Because I have that problem. I say yes to way too many things. Then I do a half-assed job with a lot of those things because I've said yes to too many things. And then all of the things suffer rather than just being able to say no. Just say no. Remember DARE? Yeah, just say no. That campaign did not work. I think I graduated from DARE in 6th grade, and then I graduated to becoming a massive, massive drug addict. But as I was saying, I say yes to too many mother effing things. And then they all the things suffer because I've said too much. I've spread myself too thin. Why do I do this? Fear. Fear that all my opportunities are going to go away. That's not reality. When I'm in a place of love and abundance and I trust that everything's going to work out, I'm able to say no to things, say no to good things and yes to great things. When I'm in a place of fear, I say yes to everything and then it all suffers, and including me and my health, because I'm incredibly overwhelmed and I'm resentful that I can't spend more time with my kids because I've taken on too much. So, I still have that people-pleasing character defect. It's still there. And gotta get rid of it. Gotta get rid of it. I literally have my publishers from Simon & Schuster going, "Where's the book promos? Where's the book promos?" I'm pitching a TV show around my book, Idiot, which if you haven't read it or listened to it, you can get it wherever books are sold. But it's basically my story of how I went from being a broke, suicidal, drug addict that was hopping from one toxic romance to the next to living a happy, sober, successful life beyond my wildest dreams. How that journey happened. And it's a compilation of comedic and cringy and dramatic real life essays from my life. So that's Idiot. And then, of course, I have a part two, Idiots, which starts from my pregnancies, births. I go in depth into my marriage. I write about the stories I was too scared to tell in my first book. That's all in book two. Anyway, I did get an abortion when I was 15 years old. And I'm totally shook by the world right now, and that we're going backwards. I cannot believe that women are possibly losing those rights and already losing those rights in some states. California is not there, but other states surely are. And it's just devastating to think that we're going back. It's devastating. I was 15 years old, went to a party with a couple of friends, was given alcohol, drugs. This guy who was 19, like on mushrooms, I remember him saying, "I'm on mushrooms," you know, sweet talks me, manipulates me into going to bed with him. He shuts the door. I remember he turns off all the lights. It's pitch black. But you know that pitch black where you can still kind of see shadows, you can still see movement, but it's very, very, very dark. And we lie on the bed. And I remember thinking I was nervous, I was scared, I was apprehensive, but I was almost scared to say no. And I asked him, "Do you have a condom?" He said yes. He got up, he went to his dresser, he opened his first dresser. I heard the dresser swish open. He rustled around in there looking for the condom, shuts the dresser, comes back, pulls down his pants. It looks as though he's putting it on. I can't really tell. It's so dark. We have sex. A couple weeks later, I start feeling very nauseous. I didn't know what it was. I was throwing up in the morning. My mom told me to stay home. We thought I had the flu. A couple more weeks later, my breasts started growing. They were tender. They hurt. I thought perhaps I was getting my period. My period never came. In school, I was very troubled. I was barely passing classes. I was getting high and drunk. I was a troublemaker. I was very rebellious. And the only good positive thing that I did in school was theater. I loved it. I was good at it. And I just knew this is what I want to do for the rest of my life. This is it. So this was what I put all my passion and focus into, other than weed. I also put a lot of focus on weed, but also theater. So ironically enough, I was doing a play called The Big Bang, I believe it was called. And I was playing a pregnant Virgin Mary. A pregnant Virgin Mary when I was 15 and actually pregnant. Life is funny. So I took the test and I was pregnant. I didn't tell my mother. Though my mom and I were very close, we didn't talk about sex. And that's one thing that I'm going to do with both my kids. And I'm not blaming my mom. She was doing the best she could. I think it's a generational thing. She didn't talk about sex. You figure that out. So I didn't know, but I sure as hell am going to have those uncomfortable conversations with my kids. Anyway, I didn't feel comfortable telling her that I was pregnant. But I immediately knew that I was going to get an abortion. I didn't even have to think twice. I was a child. I knew I was a child. I was furious at that 19-year-old for telling me he put a condom on and coming back into a pitch black room after he opened that drawer and I could hear the drawer and I could hear, you know, things moving around in there and coming back and we had sex. I thought he had a condom on. He told me he had a condom on. Now, my specific story is, at the end of the day, irrelevant. It doesn't matter why I decided to get an abortion. It's my right. You know, keep your laws off my body. My body, my choice. Right? But this is my story, so... So I remember I took the test and I called him and he didn't believe me. I told him I want to get an abortion. He said, and I didn't have money at the time. I said, we can split it. I think it was like $400 at Planned Parenthood. And so I said, will you split it with me? And he said, you're just trying to get $200 from me. The dude really thought I was pretending to be pregnant to get abortion money. Like, so I could just like spend it at Wendy's and TJ Maxx. I don't know. That's what he thought. So he said, meet me at the White Castle. It was either White Castle or Burger King. It was a fast food place. I think it was White Castle, which somehow makes it all worse. Meet me at the White Castle bathroom. And we'll take a test together so I can see proof. Then I'll give you the money for the abortion. So I meet him at the White Castle bathroom. I remember I had to pee on the stick in front of him as he watched me. It was humiliating. It was embarrassing. It was dehumanizing. And of course, a couple minutes went by, the longest 3 minutes of my damn life, and the test read positive. He believed me and he pulled out the $200 and gave me the money. Maybe it was $300. That was it. That was the last time I ever saw the guy. He didn't take me. He didn't check on me. No, if it was a different time, I could have filed a police report. It's statutory rape. I was 15. He was 19. He deceived me. He manipulated me. He lied to me, to a 15-year-old who didn't know anything about that. But it was a different time, you know? It was 2002 or something, 2002, 2003. 2003, yeah. So... that was pre-Me Too. So I call my friend Nicole, amazing girl Nicole. She was this amazing, like, bisexual, just outcast, and I fucking loved her. She just was so funny and different, and I remember she had a tied tongue, and she would constantly be showing me her tied tongue, and I was obsessed with it. But anyway, I digress. She took me to Planned Parenthood and we drove up at like 6 a.m. and there was all these protesters out, these like hardcore Christian protesters, you know, with these big signs saying basically you're going to hell if you get this abortion. And one of the people had a sign that said like gays hate babies or gays eat babies. I swear to God. Something like gays eat babies. It's just so fucked up, dude. These signs were insane. But basically, they're all screaming at us telling me that I'm going to hell if I carry through with the abortion. And I rolled down the window and screamed to the protesters, "Don't worry, this one's probably gay." So, because you kind of have to laugh at the end of the day, don't you? But yeah, it wasn't even a question in my mind that I was a child. I could not care for this baby. This was not, I also felt, I didn't ask for this baby. I thought this man was using protection. He lied to me and told me he had a condom. So I just can't believe we're going backwards. And so anyway, I get the procedure and they gave me painkillers. And my mom found the painkillers. She found the painkillers maybe a couple days or a week later. She looked at me. She said, "What are these?" And I didn't know what to say because, again, I was scared I was going to get in trouble. And I said, "Oh, they're my friends." And she said, "Laura, did you get breast implants?" I swear to God. I said, "No." She was like, "Your breasts look much bigger." She was convinced that with the painkillers and my breasts that had gotten bigger, that I got breast implants. And then I said, because I wasn't ready to tell her, "No, my friend Jen got an abortion and I took her to get the abortion and she was afraid her mom was going to find out. So we had them write out the painkiller prescriptions in my name. And that's why there's painkillers in my name, because my friend Jen got an abortion and didn't want her mom to find out. So we did it in my name." And my mom just looked at me and went, "Okay." And that was it. She didn't question it. She didn't say, "Laura, I know it was you." She just said, "Okay." And we moved on. We never talked about it again. It was almost like, looking back, she knew it was me and she knew I just wasn't ready to talk about it. So she just said, "Okay. Okay." And then years later, maybe I was early 20s, she came to me and she said, "Hey, all those years ago, was it you? Was it you who got the abortion?" And I said, "Yes. I was just scared to tell you." And she said, "Laura, you never had to be scared to tell me. I would have taken you. I would have supported you, Laura. You never had to be scared to tell me, Laura." She was just nothing but compassionate and understanding. And I think about how my life would have been different if I didn't have those rights when I was 15 and taken advantage of and lied to, how my life would have been different. And I worry about the teenagers and women now. Anyway, I hope I hope this story can, I don't know, make someone feel less alone if you've experienced it or... This was supposed to be funny. This was supposed to be a funny podcast. Okay, so here we are. I have got to get back to this potty training boy because I bet you Alfie's up. And I mean, sorry, I bet you Poppy's up from her nap. So Carla needs me. We've each got a kiddo. I love y'all so much. Thank you for listening to me. I hope that you're having an amazing day. And I hope that you're content.